Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, Florida public and charter school teachers are one step closer to being allowed to carry a gun in their classrooms. This week, the state Senate okayed a bill that expands a school security plan put in place after last year's mass shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland.
That strategy allowed school employees to carry guns on campus after they underwent training, but classroom teachers were excluded. The bill passed by the Senate crosses out what current law describes as, quote, individuals who exclusively perform classroom duties as classroom teachers, end quote. So teachers could carry weapons under these changes.
It has been an emotional debate, Tom. Parents and students, some from the March for Our Lives movement that was sparked by the Stoneman Douglas shooting, they protested in Tallahassee as the bill made its way through the Senate. Now, the Florida House has a week to take action on the bill before the scheduled end of the legislative session. It is expected to pass the House, and Governor Ron DeSantis has said he is open to the idea of arming Florida teachers. And so this Friday on the Florida Roundup, we're going to spend the full hour talking about school security and the measure that would arm teachers in the Sunshine State. And here's what we want to know. Do you support or oppose the idea of teachers carrying guns in class? Are you a teacher, a parent? What do you think about this? Give us a call right now from wherever you are in Florida. The number to join the show, 305-995-1800, and tweet us at Florida Roundup.
First, though, a Parkland parent who supports the effort and a senator who voted against it this week. Ryan Petty is with us here on Florida Public Radio. His 14-year-old daughter, Elena, was shot and killed at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. Senator Oscar Brainin is with us from our sister station in Tallahassee, WFSU. He's a Democrat who represents parts of Broward in Miami-Dade counties. Mr. Petty, let me begin with you. Your thinking of arming classroom teachers has evolved. You initially had been opposed to it. You were a member of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas State Commission investigating the tragedy. But you voted for it as a part of that commission, and you support this bill. Tell us about the evolution that you've undergone.
Sure, Tom. Thank you for having me. So absolutely support Senate Bill 7030 and the provisions to allow additional personnel within our schools to carry firearms to prevent the kind of tragedy that we saw at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School on February 14, 2018. I did evolve over time. Initially, last year, when the topic of arming teachers came up in Senate Bill 7026, I took a position against it. As I learned more about the events of that day and what happened and the time sequence of events, mm-hmm. It became very clear to me that had someone on that campus acted differently, but certainly had there been there was an opportunity for several of the staff members at Marjory Stoneman Douglas to take the fight to the bad guy, as we say, and had they been able to do that, things on February 14th would have been very different.
Let's bring in Senator Oscar Brainin, a Democrat of Broward and Miami-Dade County. Senator, you voted against this measure, saying you don't believe it will improve classroom safety. You've also put forth amendments to the measure. Tell us a little bit more about your opposition.
Thank you for having me. My opposition is pretty deeply rooted in the things that could happen in a classroom outside of the unfortunate moments of February 14th. And talking about this bill in particular and talking about the incident of February 14th, right now, before this bill, so right now as law stands, the Guardian program exists, and it is actually called the Aaron Feist program. And that is because the way the law is written currently without this bill, Coach Aaron Feist would have been able to be armed. So he would have had an opportunity to take the fight to the bad guy. My opposition comes about putting it in the classroom with someone who is just a classroom teacher is because I think a classroom teacher has a different relationship with a child. And when we talk about children that are in environments where guns are not considered a safe thing, and many of those are in communities like mine in inner cities where they're dealing with gun violence every day. This is not a once-in-a-lifetime event for them. They, some unfortunately, see someone get shot regularly. I unfortunately have to deal with parents that have lost children in my multi-decade career often because this gun violence is prevalent in my community. And a gun being in the classroom, however it is that they're planning to do it, whether it be on the teacher, hidden somewhere, in a safe, just the concept brings a different environment for those children. And that's on an everyday basis. And that's not to even begin to talk about the possible incidents or accidents or unintended things that could happen at any moment.
I'd like to hear
as a result of that.
Ryan, I'd like to hear you respond to what the senator says. But Senator, talk to us a little bit about your thinking around what Ryan Petty has said and how his evolution of thinking around teachers with guns has changed as he sat through the Marjory Stoneman Douglas Commission hearings and saw the timeline of the shooter on campus and how quickly the tragic events unfolded and how that really was a driving force in him beginning to support having teachers armed in classrooms. Your thoughts, Senator?
Well, the current legislation talks about teachers only. And when I hear the timeline, as I've heard it quite often, you hear that there were two people that were caught in the that were caught by Nicholas Cruz, and we refer to them as Coach. And the thing about the Guardian program right now, as it stands, is if you are a coach, you can be a part of the Guardian program. So it just, I guess my question, and I have yet to really hear an answer, is we have a Guardian program that allows a lot of the people that were involved in that day's incidents to be armed. So, and these people are doing things other than just being in the classroom. And I think I continue to say, I hear what we're saying, but the way the Guardian program is now allows for people to do exactly what you're saying. So why are we switching to classroom?
And why switch?
Why do we have
let
to
me
do
ask
this
you
piece?
Let me ask you, Ryan Petty, by the way, the number to join the show is 305-995-1800. Mr. Petty, most Florida teachers say they don't want to be armed in the classroom now. About a third of the state school districts have begun Guardian programs, and certainly any teacher that would eventually pick up a weapon would do it on a volunteer basis. But what do you say to what we're hearing from teachers and parents who oppose this, saying that this fundamentally changes the relationship between teacher and student? Also, parents of African-American children are especially concerned about this. African-American kids face more harsh discipline in schools. That's been well documented. What about some of those concerns, particularly from parents and teachers in Florida who have steadfastly opposed this idea?
Well, let's step back and talk about what this bill does and what it doesn't do, because there's confusion. This bill has been labeled as arming teachers, and that's a complete mischaracterization of what this bill does.
But it does allow for it.
It does allow for it. But let's step through.
If they so chose to do it.
If they chose. So let's go through the sequence of events. So First of all, the school district has to agree to that as a policy. That's controlled by an administration and a school board that are elected by the people of that county. Second, they have to go through guardian training. Extensive training. They'd be held to the same standard as the current set of guardians. And then it's subject to the policies that would be put forward by the school districts that would implement or would allow this. And some of those rules and policies address some of the concerns that Senator Brannon mentioned a moment ago, which are, is there going to be a firearm in the classroom or will it be stored somewhere else on campus? Those are issues that can be addressed via policy. So let's just step back a little bit take a deep breath and realize that this is not arming teachers across the state of Florida. And certainly any teacher that objects, for whatever reason, to carrying a firearm in the classroom would be exempt from this. What this allows school districts to do is to add those classroom educators into the pool of guardian-eligible participants and allow them to go through the same process a guardian would go through. The second thing this bill does, and I think it's really important to understand this, is it allows for school districts like Miami-Dade to come out of the gray area where they wanted to and have hired contractors as school security personnel, and it would allow contractors to become guardians also. So it clears that up. And for school districts like Miami-Dade specifically, but also districts, large districts like Broward, Hillsboro, Palm Beach, Orange, they could then contract for guardian services and they don't have to be employees of the school district. So that opens up new possibilities for those large districts. But let me come back to the main point. The main point is there are counties in the state of Florida, rural counties, where some schools are minutes away from law enforcement help. And even with one law enforcement or guardian located at the school, it may be several minutes before additional law enforcement can come on. And as we've seen in these incidents, the quicker you can take the fight to the bad guy, as I said earlier, the quicker you can stop this and the less loss of life and less casualties. And so,
and Senator Brannon, let me ask you about that, because certainly in a big state like Florida, there are different needs and fears and imperatives when you look at a large urban school district as opposed to a rural district. And so there are certainly districts around the state are responding differently to the notion of the armed guardians being teachers or other trained and paid personnel. And so this is likely to pass and become law in Florida. But what about that? The fact that if you're in a large urban district where, as you said, there's a lot of gun violence and children are already dealing with that, as opposed to the needs of more rural school districts?
Well, I think you take a moment and you look at some areas similar to Duval County, where you have both. You have rural and you have urban. And you have to make a policy for one or the other. And I honestly believe that, you know, while I didn't 100% agree with what we passed last year, it was somewhat of a compromise that dealt with everything that has been said in the debate right now. And what we're saying right now, what I'm saying right now, is that I think we're taking a step too far. And it begins to, I begin to question, and I've asked this question even just a few minutes ago, what are we trying to accomplish if you're able to arm right now a coach, a teacher who is also the debate coach, can become a part of the guardian program? And this doesn't even get into my fundamental just disagreement with, you know, putting a teacher in with a firearm. I unfortunately have been in locations where there's been a hail of gunfire. I've been around when people have been shot, and let me tell you, it was not like Die Hard and Bruce Willis. They're not shooting someone in the head. They're usually gunfire and bullets are flying everywhere, and any officer will tell you the same thing, that it's rare that you pull out your gun and you hit, you know, your target. And they train and practice every day. So I just do fundamentally disagree with it. But I also ask, why must it be that in-room teacher right now?
Senator, I'll have Ryan address that. But Senator, what about Ryan's point about the process here, that it still has local control? Local school districts would still have to approve an expansion of a guardianship program. There would still be a 144-hour training program instituted before a teacher would be allowed. And then there'd still be local policy that would be layered onto any kind of gun in a classroom. Why aren't you satisfied with those safety precautions in this legislation?
So I'll tell you, one of the things that we are not talking about is we are requiring that we have certain safety measures, certain safety officers, or somebody at the school that's prepared to deal with this. But we are not funding it completely. So if you say, well, my decision as a school board is to have SROs only at schools, or to only have a paid security officer. Well, you have to have the money to do so. And what's happening is school districts are hamstrung by finances.
Okay.
And
let me have Mr. Petty respond to the senator's fundamental question, which is, what's the need that this bill addresses, Ryan?
So beyond the topic that we started the conversation on around extending the Guardian program, this bill does a couple of things that are really, really important. And there are issues that we addressed on the MSD Commission and made recommendations towards. So let's talk about a couple of those briefly. The first one is, clearly as a state, we have an issue with reporting of incidents of violence on our school campuses, K through 12. When you look at an example, let's talk Miami-Dade here. There was a murder committed at Coral Gables High School a few years ago.
Several years ago, a stabbing, I believe.
It showed up in the police reports, didn't show up in the state database, which is called CSER. The data we found as an MSD commission is unreliable. And so we need incentives for school districts to do a better job of accurately reporting incidents of violence on campus.
But how does allowing a classroom teacher carry a firearm into the classroom address that?
Well, I'm addressing other things Senate Bill 7030 does,
sure.
Right? So what 7030 does is allow, it puts some real teeth in holding school boards and school district administrators accountable for accurately reporting data to the state. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, it modifies the funding mechanism. So there's a funding mechanism, to Senator Brannon's point now, to encourage districts to accurately report incidents of school violence and discipline on campus. That allows a school district and a school to receive more state funding under 7030 to improve school safety. Now, it does come, as Senator Brannon mentioned, it does come with some strings attached. There are things that we would like as a state, and we recommend it as a safety commission, that school districts spend money on. Single point of entry over video cameras, mm-hmm. as an example, mm-hmm. of two things that we would say, secure the perimeter of your schools before you buy that advanced video recording system. It'd be much better to prevent violence on campus than it would be to get an HD recording of it.
And getting lots of tweets and calls into the Florida Roundup about the measure that would make it possible for some teachers in Florida schools to be armed. Here's just one tweet. I'm a South Florida parent with kids in elementary, middle, and high schools. I'm against armed teachers in the classrooms. This will only create more deaths with accidental gun discharges and other gun-caused accidents. What do you think, Florida? As we continue here for the full hour on the Florida Roundup discussing this, with your tweets to @FloridaRoundup and your calls at 305-995-1800. As we continue after the break with Ryan Petty, who lost his daughter at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and Senator Oscar Brannon, who voted against this legislation, Tom Hudson and myself. And later in the hour, we will hear from educators in Hillsborough and Lake Counties, because different school districts are responding to the mandate around a school guardian program differently. It's a big, diverse state.
Yes, it is.
And we want to hear from everybody. So get those calls and tweets coming. We'll go to them right after the break. It's 305-995-1800 to join the Florida Roundup from the Panhandle down to the Keys, just about. And your calls and tweets. It's the Florida Roundup coming to you from Florida Public Radio as we talk about arming teachers in Florida, a very hot topic. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for listening this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. We are talking about a legislative effort that would allow public and charter school teachers in Florida to carry firearms in the classroom after undergoing training in if and when a local school district allows it. Ryan Petty is our guest. His 14-year-old daughter, Elena, was shot and killed at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School back in February of 2018. And Senator Oscar Brannon is with us from our sister station in Tallahassee, WFSU. Senator Brannon is a Democrat representing parts of Broward and Miami-Dade counties. 305-995-1800. We'll begin the phone calls here with Martha in Miami. Martha, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts.
Hi. In all of these discussions, I haven't heard anything to justify the Guardian program and how they're going to secure the guns in schools. I'm retired law enforcement. We're wearing a gun belt. We have gun retention. We have biannual training, and still police officers have their own guns taken away, and they're shot and killed with them. How is a plainclothes teacher going to keep the guns secure? Why not just increase active shooter drills in schools? That's my question.
Gotcha, Martha. Ryan, are you familiar enough with the legislation to know how guns can be secured under this legislation? Does it articulate?
It does not articulate it, and it's a valid concern, and this is certainly the one that as a commission, we talked about quite a bit. How do we prevent the accidental discharge of a firearm in a classroom or something bad escalating in a classroom? Look, the answer is the same here as it is for law enforcement. It is about weapons retention training. It is about guardian training, and it is about good policies and good training within the districts who will set the policies about whether or not that firearm will be allowed inside a classroom or whether it's going to be stored in a safe location on campus that's readily accessible by guardian trained personnel. Those
and
are all issues
minutes,
that can
yeah,
be
we'll,
can be
we'll talk to,
handled with
yeah,
training.
Yeah, we'll talk to some districts that are approaching this differently. But let me ask you, Ryan, as a follow-up before we go back to a few more calls. The majority of Florida voters are not okay with this. A Quinnipiac University poll found that 57% of Florida voters oppose allowing trained teachers or school officials to carry guns on school grounds. And so what do you say to the criticism of the legislature that whether it's guns in class or other measures, that the legislature is ignoring the will of the voters on this issue?
Well, not having seen the poll directly and to understand how the question was asked specifically, my guess
they oppose arming teachers. They just simply oppose arming teachers.
Sure, because the imagery is the teacher in the art class carrying the firearm, and I don't think that's an accurate representation of
well, the
way this program will be
implemented. Let me ask you as a follow-up, because the Quinnipiac poll asks voters specifically, what would you do to reduce gun violence in schools? 58% of Florida voters chose stricter gun laws. 32% said arming teachers was the answer. So what about that?
Sure. And we did take some steps last year to create stricter gun laws in Florida the first time in 22 years.
Right.
And so we did that. And let me be clear. There is no one answer for this. If we gave every teacher in Florida a firearm, that wouldn't necessarily make our schools safe. It is a combination of factors that will make our schools safe. And this is just one more element in what should be a basket of options for school districts to employ. But we know some things are very important. We need to protect the perimeter of the school. We need to have a quick response. We need to stop the killing as quickly as possible. And for those that that don't understand the reason for this, I would ask you to watch the animation that we put out as an MSD commission. Watch the shooting unfold that day. The killer had killed 17 and injured 17 within about 3 minutes. That's before law enforcement, even on, in some cases, in a big campus like Marjory Stoneman Douglas, 3 minutes, it takes more than 3 minutes to get across that campus. Even armed law enforcement can't respond that quickly. So having the ability to stop the killing quickly is one of the rationales for this. But again, it's just one of the many options that school districts need the flexibility to choose as they figure out for themselves what's the best way to protect kids in their districts.
And let's go to some more of your calls here. Go ahead, Senator, and then we'll go to some more callers.
I understand the concept of us trying to do something to stop what happened on that day or to make sure that that never happens again. My problem is, and what I think is being lost, is why would we go a step further and now put children in harm's way? Because we can talk about how that day, if a teacher had a gun in that classroom, that it would have stopped it. But the truth is, that's one incident that has happened, you know, over in Florida. That's probably the first time we've ever had that, whereas confrontations between teachers and students happen all the time. As a matter of fact, the concept of the censor report and that these incidents have been happening and not being reported implies that there are other incidents that happen. And do we believe that introducing a firearm into that, no matter how you do it, whether you put it on the hip, in the desk, wherever, would be good, or would it make our schools more unsafe? And so if you want to put better gates up, if you want to do more mental counseling, mental health counseling, if you want to do active training drills or the other things that are in this bill, that makes sense. But why take it a step further, which could possibly make our children unsafe? That's the concept I don't get and have yet to understand or hear someone explain to me exactly why we would go that far.
Ryan?
It's a great question, and Senator, let me try to address it very directly. When you look back at the history of these events, some horrific events like Marjory Stoneman Douglas and some less so, 66%, over two-thirds of these are stopped by school staff. The school staff
with a firearm,
they're stopped by school staff.
You're saying school active shooter situations.
School staff are on the front line. Whether we arm them or not is a choice the districts can make, but these incidents are more often than not stopped by school staff. So the reality is, our teachers, our coaches, our security personnel are on the front lines in this battle, and quite frankly, this bill allows districts to recognize that fact and take steps if they choose to allow more personnel to protect the students and other staff at these schools.
Let's take one more call, and then we'll talk a little bit with a couple of different school districts around the state. It's Kevin in Hollywood, Florida. Hi, Kevin. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Kevin, are you with us?
Go ahead, Kevin. All right. We might have lost Kevin, but the number to join the show is 305-995-1800, and we're continuing to get lots of tweets here on the Florida Roundup about this very hot topic, and we want to thank Ryan Petty, who served on the Marjory Stoneman Douglas Commission and lost his daughter, tragically, Elena, at Parkland, and Senator Oscar Brannon, Democrat of Broward and Miami-Dade counties. Gentlemen, thanks for sharing. Actually, Ryan, you're going to stay with us through the hour, but Senator Brannon, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. I understand you have to get back to the Senate floor.
Yes.
So thanks for being on the show with us.
Ryan, thank you very much. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you all for having me.
Still some legislating left to be done in Florida before session is supposed to end a week from today. 25 counties in Florida do have the school guardian program right now, and this includes Broward County, where Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School is located. If this new proposal passes the legislature and Governor Ron DeSantis signs it, the Guardian program would be able to be expanded to allow classroom teachers to carry guns after they receive training. Some school districts are moving to preempt the effort to oppose teachers carrying guns. Tamara Schaumburg is the chairwoman of the Board of Education at Hillsborough County Public Schools. She is with us. And Bill Mathias is a school board member in Lake County. Lake County schools take part in the current Guardian program. Tamara and Bill, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for your time. Tamara, why take this preemptive strike, so to speak, this resolution opposing arming classroom teachers even before the legislature and the governor take action?
Well, good afternoon, and thank you so much for allowing me to be on. But the Hillsborough County School Board has taken a position since the Parkland shooting that we absolutely don't want to arm teachers. It simply does not make sense for our community, our teachers, our students, the community members, and even our law enforcement officers have taken a position against this initiative. It's just not a good fit for Hillsborough County.
And
Bill Mathias, a different approach in Lake County in Central Florida, where you use a combination of trained school resource officers and guardians.
Can you tell
us why Lake County went another way?
Yeah, after the Parkland shooting, that our board held a series of open forums. We did multiple surveys with our stakeholders throughout Lake County. And overwhelmingly, the first thing we wanted to do was protect our kids. And so the Guardian program within the fiscal side of it would allow us to do that. We chose administrators only, and of course those that are ex-law enforcement or ex-military. And so we have some 29 guardians, but more important to that, our folks wanted a law enforcement officer on every campus. So we have law enforcement on every campus supported by second line of defense, a guardian. That's how we've approached it.
And these are school administrators, some of whom you say have law enforcement or military training. Is that right?
Yes, they're administrators, and then we have several pure guardians that are ex-military or law enforcement.
Okay, and so Ms. Schamberger, you know, it's interesting to note that only about a third of Florida's school districts are moving forward with the kind of situation that we see in Lake County. In Duval County, Jacksonville, where I'm sitting right now, the Duval County School Board is very much opposed to the idea of arming teachers, as is your school district. And so we're seeing a really interesting difference of response around this big, varied state when it comes to this idea and how local control is being executed. Can you tell us a little bit more about how Hillsborough plans to respond and plans to implement school security measures? Because it's certainly different than Lake County.
Absolutely. Well, Hillsborough County, Hillsborough School District is the third largest district in the state with just about 220,000 students. So we have a lot of students and staff to protect. We are lucky, though, in Hillsborough County that we have a very large school security team. We have just about 300 members on that school security team that are all currently or will be soon guardian trained. And so we will have certified security school officers in every school. And where there may be a shortage, we work very, very well with our local sheriff's departments and our police departments where they fill in the gaps. And so we have strong partnerships and also a lot of school security where other districts may not have that. Because of that, we are able to allow the trained professionals to do their jobs and to be the ones with the guns and allow our teachers to simply do what they want to do, which is teach.
Tamara, when you talk about a school security team, is that a sworn police force?
We actually have school security officers, which are all guardian trained.
I guess I'm. What does that mean? I don't know. If they're a police officer, they're a police officer. If they're a guardian under the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas law, they're a guardian, but not a sworn police officer.
Correct. These are not sworn police officers. They're school resource officers.
Gotcha.
Who have now gone through the guardian training, so they all carry weapons and are in compliance with the state.
Gotcha. Thank you for that.
That's not quite accurate. The guardians are actually, they're trained by our local sheriff. They then are sworn in as special deputies.
Okay.
So they have limited authority. Mm-hmm. I do want to make one thing really clear.
Hold on, Bill. Before you do that, let me just remind folks that you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Okay, Bill, go ahead.
Okay. I want to make really clear that Lake County is not considering arming teachers. We are very comfortable with where we are right now.
So you do not expect to expand, take advantage of the expansion should the legislature pass the current piece of legislation that got out of the Senate?
That's accurate. And while I support Senate Bill 7030, because it gives local school districts more local control over protecting their kids, that in Lake County, we do not intend to arm teachers.
Let me ask you both about that as a follow-up. This has gotten so much attention, not just here in Florida, but around the country. But the majority of school boards that we've been able to connect with seem to oppose the idea of arming teachers. So, Tamara Schamberger, even if this becomes law, is it likely to actually be executed in a real way? Will it be more of a symbolic piece of legislation, honestly, since most school districts are approaching this issue without actively seeking to arm educators?
I would absolutely agree with that statement. I think it's probably more symbolic than anything. One part of the legislation that we certainly appreciate is that it gives local control. And so we will stand on our position that arming teachers is just not a fit for our schools.
And I think
quick follow up, but a number, let me ask you too, though, Ms. Schamberger, a number of states do allow teachers to carry on school campus. So it is being done in other municipalities, other states around the country. That was not enough to convince your school district, though, right?
I agree. That's not really enough. Listen, if arming teachers is necessary and it works for other districts, then so be it. We haven't really taken a position against whether arming teachers is the best idea or not. We're just simply saying it's not a fit for our district.
Ryan, how about this idea of Hillsborough passing a resolution opposed to this? What you're hearing in Lake County is in opposition to allowing its teachers. Miami-Dade County has its own police force already for the school district. Large districts, Broward County has the guardianship program. Whether or not it would expand it remains to be seen. A number of school districts have not taken advantage of the current guardianship program, and several have already voiced opposition in expanding it into allowing trained teachers to carry. So does this perhaps become more symbolic than a true school security piece of legislation?
I don't think so. And I heard both board members talk about for their districts, the position they're going to take. And I think that's fine. That is accounted for. They both mentioned the option of choice for each district to do what they believe is best for their students. And again, that's something that school boards around the state will have to make that decision. And of course, I think parents and voters will hold them accountable for making sure their kids are safe. But there are counties in the state of Florida where they do need additional, there aren't enough guardians to go around. Mm-hmm. And so the option to add additional school personnel is important to them. And it's important because, as my good friend Sheriff Judd from Polk County likes to say, when seconds count, minutes don't matter, mm-hmm. right? And so taking the fight to the bad guy and hopefully just the idea that there is an armed response on campus.
Yep.
Will prevent these from happening.
A lot of phone calls, a lot of tweets. Let's get to those after a short break here as you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville as we continue to take your calls and tweets statewide. Looking for the full hour at the measure that would make it possible for some Florida teachers to be armed in the classroom. Lots of tweets coming into the show. Here are just a couple. From one listener, he says, why not let those who choose to be armed be separated from those who oppose it? Criminals will think twice before they come and kill innocent students. Here's another listener. Russell says to the Florida Roundup, what happens when parents decide not to send their children to school because teachers have guns in the classroom? I'm a former teacher and a parent. I would not carry a gun and I will not put my children in a classroom with a gun. And your calls. Patrick is in Altamont Springs. Patrick, you're on the Florida Roundup. Thanks for calling.
Go ahead. Hello. How are you?
All right. Thanks. What are your thoughts?
I'm against arming teachers. I think having resource officers or hired guards at the school is a good idea. But I was in the Marine Corps, and we trained every single day for all types of situations. And you're never going to get that level of training for a teacher, because it's got, when you have an officer of the law, they're training constantly. They're putting themselves in situations. And they're being trained on a regular basis to handle the stress and the adrenaline that gets pumping when you get into a combat situation. And the teachers are never going to have that. So that's my opinion, but that's from experience.
Thank you for that. That's Patrick in Altamont Springs. And, you know, this is the feedback that we're getting from a lot of parents around the state, Ryan. They simply feel that giving teachers guns will make schools less safe rather than more safe? I mean, you know, can a teacher really be adequately, think of all the things teachers have to do already in the classroom. Is it, even though the teachers that would ostensibly do this would be volunteering to do it, they would not be forced, certainly. But can a teacher really adequately be trained? And also, what about the anecdotal feedback we're getting from parents around the state saying that if they know that their teacher, their child's teacher is armed, they don't want their child in that classroom? The legislature also hasn't allowed an opt-out provision for parents in this legislation where they would be allowed to opt out of a class where they knew that a teacher was carrying or had access to a weapon. And so what about those aspects of this?
So let me address the training issue first, because I think that was the caller raises a great point. And you know, a lot of our guardians are former military, former law enforcement, and they go through rigorous training. In fact, when it comes to armed assailants on school campuses, they get more training than a typical law enforcement officer in Florida. So training is the key, and the guardians get great training. And any teacher that volunteered to be a part of this would go through that same guardian training. So great concern, but it is addressed in the guardian training program. And I've participated and seen some of the guardian training in Brevard County last week. Had an opportunity to look at some of the advanced scenario training they do in his 360 virtual reality space that the sheriff there has created, Sheriff Ivy. Phenomenal training, and we went through it with the guardians, and these guys were ex-military, ex-law enforcement, phenomenal marksmanship that I saw demonstrated, and gave me a lot of confidence in the training that they get. With regards to choice, again, every district's going to have an opportunity to make a decision about whether they want to extend the guardian program to teachers. I would encourage parents that are uncomfortable with it to go to their school board meetings, call, email, write, let your school board members know whether or not you're comfortable with this. But understand that there are counties, there are schools where the law enforcement response or the response of that single SRO sitting out at that school may not be sufficient to keep your child safe. So just understand that there are good reasons that a district might want to do this, but make your voice heard.
Bill Mathias with Lake County, a school board member in Lake County, you did take advantage of the Guardian program as it currently exists. Did you see any change in school enrollment as your guardians became trained and were deployed?
Not at all, because first of all, the safety and security, that aspect is shaded. So we don't broadcast and we don't speak about who is armed and who isn't armed on our campuses. They see a presence of law enforcement. But to the point about time matters, that we have a school that is, we're very rural in Lake County, and a school that is 15 minutes away from a substation, that during an active shooter drill, the shooter was intercepted by the guardian in 1 minute and 30 seconds. I think that speaks to, we have to stop the attack quickly, and time absolutely matters. But I do want to lead in to the other part that we enacted in Lake County, was a referendum that our citizens voted for that helped provide immediate security. But I will share with you, if someone has intent to do harm, they will do it. $13 million of our referendum dollars are prevention and intervention and getting kids counseling. And I think that ultimately is the solution to a big part of this problem, is we've got to get help for these kids.
And there's a mental health component to the 7030 bill, the legislation that includes the expansion.
But the challenge is, let me just speak about funding. For an example, on the safety security side, the Guardian program, that to provide safety on our campuses costs $7.3 million, and the legislature last year gave us $1 million, 1.2. Mm-hmm. Mental health is a $13 million endeavor and $1.2 million. So unless we get serious about the mental health part and properly fund it, then, and again, we're not even seeing the adequate funding of public education, that we've got to take some really serious look of how to get kids help.
And we're hearing some great insights from different school board officials here on the Florida Roundup right now as we talk about this legislation. This is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Tamara Schamberger, your board chair of Hillsborough County Public Schools, getting lots of tweets all throughout the hour. Here's one that just came in. If teachers are armed in Florida, then schools will be a very dangerous place for children of color. I would definitely homeschool my children. This is the kind of feedback we hear from parents of color a lot when we talk about this issue. No hard data to show that parents will remove their children from schools if they perceive that teachers are armed. But did this factor, this kind of feedback from parents, did this factor into your decision to oppose arming teachers in Hillsborough County? Ms. Schamberger, are you still with us? Okay, we seem to have lost that call. But Mr. Mathias, you're with Lake County. You have a different demographic makeup, I would think, in Lake County as opposed to Hillsborough County. You've approached this differently, and that speaks to what we were talking about earlier in the hour. Right. Different school districts approach this issue differently given the factors in your local area. And so as we try to get her back on the line, what about that kind of feedback from parents?
Even in the polling that you gave just a bit ago, I will share with you that we did the same polling in Lake County for our constituents, and actually 75% approved. At that time, the discussion was about arming teachers. If you then look at the crosstabs, you certainly saw a difference in the demographics, race, and political affiliation. And so ultimately, we reached a reasonable compromise with the approach that we took, that our kids are safer, and we are approaching the mental health issue. And that's why, even within our teacher surveyed, 53% said that they would volunteer for the Guardian program. 298 teachers actually said they would volunteer straight away. But it's a very divisive conversation, and we need to get that out of the way, and we really need to deal with, first of all, protecting our kids, and second of all, identifying those kids that need help before we have an incident. Not one case did the person wake up in that morning and go, I think I'll go shoot up a school. And there were signs.
Yeah, and let me echo his comments, because he's absolutely right. And I think an ounce of, this is where the saying an ounce of prevention, right? I absolutely 100% agree. I don't want it to get to the point where a teacher has to make that decision. What I'd like to do is prevent these things from happening. And there are a number of ways to do that. But investments in mental health, investments in threat assessment, and doing that properly in our schools and in our school districts will not only help us solve the school violence problem, they'll also help us with the suicide problems that we have for adolescents. I think they're the second highest killer of our adolescents in the state of Florida. Mr. Mathias is correct. These are, prevention is where we should be focusing. And there are some other bills that we can talk about at a later date that I think will
provide. But we're running tight on time. So let's give Tamara Schamberger of Hillsborough County the last word. Board Chair Schamberger.
Thank you again for having me on. But I agree with what everyone is saying. I just want to reiterate that in Hillsborough, this is not the best option for us. We want our teachers to teach, and we want our security, our armed security guards to protect the schools and the staff. And so we certainly stand against it. And we think that hardening schools and taking whatever measures necessary to preventing attacks is critical. We need more funding. We need better legislation out of the state, out of Tallahassee, to fix these problems. And adding more guns simply does not do it.
Well, the Florida House has 1 week to act on this legislation. The last week of the Florida legislative session, the regular session, due to end 1 week from today on this Friday. So we'll see where this bill lands in the House and whether or not it gets to Governor DeSantis's desk. Tamara Schamberger is the board chair of the Hillsborough County Public Schools with us via FaceTime. Chairwoman, thanks so much for your time and your thoughts. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Bill Mathias is a school board member in Lake County. Bill, thanks for your thoughts. We appreciate you traveling to our sister station in Orlando, WMFE. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, very grateful to be able to speak about local control and safety for our kids.
And Ryan Petty, a Parkland parent, his 14-year-old daughter, Elena, shot and killed at Marjory Stoneman. Our sympathies continued for you and your family, Ryan, but thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And that's our show, The Florida Roundup, produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening this week.
Our theme music is provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson.
We'll be back next Friday. Thanks for your calls and tweets. Have a great weekend.